In the name of Jesus, amen. So just over a year ago, my wife and I had our first son, and we got to experience all of the joys and various aspects of new parenthood. And one of those aspects that I got quite a bit of experience with was sleep deprivation. I mean, it's great, and some of you are probably feeling that right now with all the papers and sermons due. But when this happened, when my son was born, it was great. But let me tell you, I was tired. And it was night after night. It felt like he woke up every hour. And I was exhausted. I was delirious. I would say things to people on Sunday mornings that were just incomprehensible. They weren't real sentences. And there's one night that my wife and I still joke about, because my body was so used to waking up every so often that all of a sudden I just kind of sprung awake in the middle of the night. My son was asleep. My wife was asleep. But I woke up and I was in this weird half dreaming, half awake state. So I got out of bed, I turned back to my bed, and in my head, I thought that I needed to swaddle my son. He was not there, but I took our giant comforter and began swaddling it. So here I am, just bent over the bed, just foof, foof, everything I learned in parenting class, and I'm tucking it in, I get it nice and tight, and I bend over and I pick it up, and I'm holding this giant wad of blankets, and I begin rocking it, thinking I'm putting my son back to sleep. Well, obviously, with all this movement, with me getting out of bed and taking the blanket, my wife starts to wake up. And so she's tired, she's squinting at me, she's trying to figure out what's going on. And seeing her kind of brought me to some more consciousness. So then I start to realize, you know, this blanket, this is pretty light. I wonder if my son's kind of shifted around in there. So I decide to put it back down and to kind of pick him up again. So I put the blankets on the bed, I unfold them, and I start feeling around the bed for my son. And I begin murmuring words that no new mother ever wants to be woken up to. Where is he? Where is he? He's got to be around here somewhere. Where is he? My wife is terrified. So she's frantic. She's asking me, PJ, what did you do? Where is our son? What happened to him? I do the next logical move. I get on my hands and knees and start looking under the bed. I figure he must have rolled underneath there. So I'm now on my hands and knees. I'm looking around. She thankfully has the clarity to go over to his bassinet. She reaches in, touches him, realizes he's okay, we're all fine, and we all go back to bed. And that's like one of my wife's favorite stories to tell. She'll tell anyone who will listen, because of how ridiculous I looked as I'm holding this giant wad of blankets rocking an imaginary child. Right? She loves to talk about how I have all of this blanket and all of this wrapping, but I'm actually missing the center. I'm missing what all of that wrapping was for. And as my wife and I talk about this story, one of the things that often comes up is how easy it is for us to get lost in all of the wrappings and to lose sight of what's at the center. And I think that that's very easy here at the seminary, right? If you ask anyone, why does the seminary exist? We're very clear, right? We raise up pastors and deaconesses to go out and to proclaim the gospel. That's the center. And yet, when that's what we're proclaiming, that's our goal, there's a lot of wrapping that comes with it. So students, I mean, we have folio tech. We have classes, assignments, readings, papers, sermons, field work. Professors, you have lesson planning, grading. You have faculty meetings, committee meetings. Staff members, you send emails, phone calls. You have all of these different teams collaboration, and you're making requests for donations and social media posts. Families, we have all these social events, and now we have Wednesday night services. There's all of this wrapping going on, and it can become so easy that when we're dealing with that wrapping, we lose sight of what's at the center of it all. And I'll give you an example of what this looks like. First year, 3 years ago, took Hom 1, right? Some of you are taking that right now. And for those who don't know, in that class, your first kind of major assignment is a devotional to your classmates. It's kind of like a mini sermon. You get up there, you read a text, and you talk about it to your classmates. Well, I remember taking this class, and I have been blessed and cursed with a last name that starts with two A's. So when a professor decides to do an assignment alphabetically, I'm always first. Yippee, that's fun. Well, anyway, so I'm going first for this devotional. I'd picked my text, Jeremiah 17. And my point of this whole devotional was that we should not trust in ourselves, but we should trust in the Lord. That's what I want to talk about. Don't trust in yourself, trust in the Lord. And I worked hard on this thing. I mean, I had drawn out this beautiful imagery from the text, and I had these carefully placed alliterations, And I had all these hand gestures that were meant to kind of anchor it and tie it together. And I began practicing over and over and over again. And the night before I gave this devotional, I kept running through it over and over, and yet it just couldn't come out quite right. You see, I would start talking and I would forget where I was going and kind of fumble and mumble my way through. Where my hand gestures, they all felt so robotic and unnatural. And as the night got later and later and this devotional got closer and closer, the sense of dread came upon me. Because I began to believe that I was going to perform a major disaster in front of my classmates and my professor. And I remember giving myself this little pep talk. I was sitting there in our room just going, come on, PJ, you can do this. Pull yourself together. You have to figure this out. This has to be great. And all of a sudden, it hit me. The irony and the tragedy that here I was trying to muster and will myself into giving the best devotional ever that would encourage other people not to trust in themselves, but to trust in the Lord. That's what it looks like to lose the center. And I think that's where Paul can help us here. You see, as we were looking at our text earlier, the first thing that hit me in this passage from Romans 10 is that it's kind of the standard Christian message, right? The word is near you. Yes, we love the word. The word of faith. Yes, we love faith. And if you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead and you confess that he is Lord, you will be saved. That's awesome. And I was wondering, Paul, why are you still talking about this in chapter 10? I mean, I don't get to preach in chapel often, so I was wondering if you could get to some of that exciting stuff that comes later in the letter. Like, you covered salvation through faith alone back in chapters 3 and 4, and you talked about being dead to sin and alive to Christ in 5 and 6. And in chapter 8, you talked about that since Jesus died, no more than that, he raised, that he is at God's right hand interceding for us, and nothing can separate us from God. So in chapter 10, as he's trying to sort through this whole issue with Jews and Gentiles, and he's moving on to Christian living, I wondered, Paul, why are you coming back to this? And as I read through it, I get the sense that Paul is helping center his readers. You see, he's going to get into a lot of wrapping here, lots of important teaching that are to be treasured and reflected upon, and yet as he moves to this next portion of his letter, he's grounding it all in this truth. This word of faith that has been placed in your heart and in your mouth. Don't lose sight of that. That's what it's all about. All of these other teachings are good, but they're nothing if it isn't for this one simple word. And that's actually why Paul, in our reading, isn't starting off or ending with something new. He's quoting Moses and Joel. He's saying words that they're already familiar with. He's inviting them to remember, to recall, and to recenter. And I think Paul can still help us today because, like I said, as we go about our life, there's so many wrappings going on. And yet we have a chance to recenter and to not get lost in all of that. Because when we do, I think our value and our purpose gets lost in the wrapping. We start to do things for their own sake. And yet Paul reminds us that who we are is what God has done for us. That if you believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead and you confess that he is Lord, that you will be saved. So students, this next couple weeks, you're going to have a paper come back, and it's going to have all sorts of feedback and a little letter grade. And you might be looking at that, and you're wondering, where in the world did I go wrong? It's at that moment Paul tells you that when you call upon God, he gives you riches far greater than any letter grade or any approval from a professor or peer. He's given you salvation and life eternal. Professors, when you're grading that paper and you're reading through and you're wondering to yourself, where in the world did I go wrong? Your value is not in how much of your content sinks in this semester. Your value is in that you have a God that when you call it, you will not be put to shame. Staff members, families, your value is not in what other people think of what you do or what you're not choosing to do and how good you are at what you're doing. Your value comes in the fact that Jesus Christ gave his precious blood and suffered innocently that you might be redeemed from sin and be brought into his kingdom so you can call upon him as Lord and know for a fact that you are saved because that word of Jesus Christ has come near. It is in your heart and in your mouth. That is our center and that is our value. But it's also our purpose. Because like I said, we know why this place exists, right? And in the reading right after our text today, Paul is going to continue by quoting or by speaking words that we have written over in the Chapel of the Holy Apostles. He's saying, how can they believe in him who they have not heard? How can they hear unless it is preached? And how can they preach unless they have been sent? This place exists so people might be sent out to proclaim that same word that has come near to us, that other people might hear and believe in Jesus Christ. So we know that the work we do here is not in vain, but it is for that purpose and for that end. So students, when you have that reading and it feels like busy work, it feels like just another task to complete, that reading is a chance to reflect and grow and learn as a future minister of the word. Professors, when you take that time to write those comments in the margin or in the Microsoft Word comment tool, it might feel like it's just part of the job, and yet those are chances to mold and shape those proclaimers of the word. And staff members, when you do all of that accounting, all of those timesheets, all of those seemingly minuscule tasks, those are what keep this place functioning so we can continue to send people forth. We know that what we do here is not in vain. It serves that word and its proclamation. There was a janitor at NASA once who was asked what he does there. And he responded by saying, "I help put a man on the moon." We know that our efforts here serve that word. And as we go forth in this school year, in this season, there's going to be a constant temptation to get lost in all of the wrapping. It's going to pull us in again and again. And when you get sent out from here, and you get to your vicarage, internship, or call, there's lots of wrapping. There's programs, there's meetings, there's councils. And that's why it's so important that we are reminded over and over again that this word is the center, that this is what it's about. This is our value, and this is our purpose. It's one of the reasons we have daily chapel, to break from all of the wrappings of seminary life, to have a chance to remember, to recall, and recenter on this word. It's one of the reasons we have classmates, colleagues, coworkers, family, and friends to remind us when we are down, to direct us when we feel purposeless. This word is central. May that be your center today, this season, this school year, and evermore. Amen.